Again, dear brethren, welcome. I would just ask if everyone could kindly just put your phone on mute while we go through this, okay? So as I mentioned, today is the third day of Unleavened Bread, and this is the second in our series. Yesterday, we looked at some texts in the book of Genesis that we examined. What is the text plainly saying? Does it say that a day start in the evening as commonly held, as commonly believed, or does it say that a day starts in the daytime? And we saw in the plain text that it lends more to saying that a day starts in with the daylight, because we saw that his first act was to say, let there be light. And he said that the light was good, and he called the light day. And that was the beginning of the first day. And that's what he did on the first day, is to create the first day by the light. And then there was evening, and there was night. It implies that, the Laila. And then there was Boker, the morning. And we saw the meanings of the various words in those chapter, in those verses that we read last night. What else? My screen just went off. So what else can we say? So we will continue today to look at how the words are used. Like what we're going to look at a few verses showing a day in context of scripture. Just a little bit more information to affirm that a day starts in the with daylight and not evening. You will see that throughout. There's tons of verses, and I will not go through so many, but I'll cover maybe two in the Old Testament and a few in the New Testament. And then we will proceed with the Sabbath. The Sabbath is very straightforward. So let's just see here. Okay, let me just see what I can cover here for you. Exodus chapter 18, verses 13. Let's look at Exodus chapter 18, verses 13, what it says in to look at a day. Let me just flip there. There's a whole bunch, but I want Exodus 18. So in Exodus 18, we find that it's Exodus 18:13. Let me just read that for you. It says, the next day, Moses sat to judge the people. When did he sit to judge the people in that passage? The next day. And it says, and the people stood around Moses from morning till evening. Do you see that? So it says, the next day, Moses sat to judge the people. So when did the day start? It says from morning until evening. That's the specific yom. That's like yom, how yom is being used in Genesis, where it's very specific. And let me say, throughout the scriptures, especially the Old Covenant scriptures, that's how it's used. It's very distinct in the parts of the day. It's very rare that it uses a day in general, where it just uses the day, the word yom, as the title for the entire 24-hour period. It does happen, but often it's very specific. So you could write that, make a note of that if you like. Exodus chapter 18, verses 13, it shows you the context of a day, because it tells us Moses the next day sat to judge the people, and the people stood around Moses from morning till evening. So it's not till evening till morning. It's from morning till evening. showing you when that started. Let's look at another verse in Numbers. Let's see if I could find that for you. Numbers chapter 11, verse 32 says a similar thing. Numbers chapter 11, verses 32 says, "And the people rose all that day and all night and all the next day." So what does that tell us about this, the event? The people rose all that day and all night and all the next day, showing you the sequence of event. This has to do with gathering the quails when they found the quails. So all that day, so the day began in, at first, followed by the night and the next day. So it's not all that evening or all that night and the next day. It's showing you a sequence. Let's look at one more. Let me just see here. Let's see one more. Let's look at Exodus 32. Exodus Shemot 32. Exodus 32 verses 5 through 6. It says, "When Aaron saw this, he built an altar before it. And Aaron made a proclamation and said, 'Tomorrow shall be a feast to the Eternal.' And they rose up early the next day and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings. And the people sat down to eat and drink and rose and played." That was not a pleasant situation with Aaron there. It wasn't a good one, but it shows an example of the understanding of a day. Because it says tomorrow. And when did tomorrow start? The evening? Because see, if right now, let's assume we're having a day that starts in the evening, right? So if let's say right now it's 10 a.m. and I tell you, you know what? Tomorrow we're going to shall be a feast. Then tomorrow should start at evening or at night, right? The next day should start at night. That's what tomorrow means, the next day. Often, mahar is that word, but what we're seeing here is that he says, "Tomorrow shall be a feast to the Eternal," and they rose up early the next day and offered burnt offerings, showing that the idea of the day tomorrow, that the next day started in the morning, not in the evening. Okay, let's see. One more in the Old Testament, and then we'll see a few in the New Testament, and then we'll move on to see the Sabbath. Again, what I'm showing you is a few examples of how, of the biblical, and I'm not going to use the word Hebrew mindset. No, this is the biblical idea of what a day is, Elohim's idea of a day. So Exodus 10, verse 13 says, "So Moses stretched out his staff over the land of Egypt. And the Eternal brought an east wind upon the land all that day and all that night." Notice the day, the yom first, then the night. It's not the night, then the day. It's accounted the day first, and then the night comes after. And after that, it says, when it was morning, boker, the east wind had brought the locusts. So when it was morning. So it shows you it's the day, the night, and then the morning. It ends right there. That's the entire cycle. All right. So let's see if I could pull up a few New Testament examples for you here. Pick up. Yes. All right. Let's see here. Bear with me a little bit. Okay. All right. In the Gospel of John, two passages in the Gospel of John. Let's look at John chapter 9, Yochanan chapter 9, verses 4. The New Testament reflects the same pattern of the day beginning first, followed by evening, night, and then morning. And in a cycle, the 24-hour cycle begins in the day and ends at dawn the next, or after the night. So, in fact, the Messiah Yeshua affirmed this when he said, quote, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day, while it is yom. The night comes when no man can work. And again, that's John chapter 9, verse 4. So that shows you the order of the day, because it says he must work while it is day, but the night is coming when no one can work. Yes, he was speaking in terms allegorically of the works of light and darkness, but he's using a natural phenomenon, a natural reality to make his point. Just like today, what happened? We woke up by the mercies of Elohim. We saw the sun, depending where we are, or light, whether cloudy or sunny. And now it's getting darker. Like for me right now, it is, the sun has set. For me here in New York, the sun has set and it's dark. That's just the normal way it works. It's not anything confusing or bizarre. So he says the night comes. So there's, he works while it's the day, but the night comes when no one can work. And again, that's reflective of what we mentioned yesterday in Genesis, how Elohim did all his work during the day and did no work during the night. Not that he couldn't, because the light and the darkness, they're the same thing. It doesn't matter. But for us, it matters. So he sets the pattern of working during the day and resting at night, because that's the most healthiest way for us to handle that. So in another passage, still in John, that's John chapter 11, verse 9 through 10, he says, Yeshua answered, are there not 12 hours in a day? If anyone may walk in the day, he doth not stumble, because the light of this world he doth see. And if anyone may walk in the night, he stumbleth, because the light is not in him. So again, showing you the idea of the day, 12 hours in the day, is that he has that mindset that the daylight is really the day, and the evening and the night comes afterwards. All right, let's see if I could share one more. All right, let's see. Okay, Mark chapter 4, verses 1 and 35, to show the progression of the day. Again, another, and that'll be my last example. Then we will move to start talking clear about the Sabbath. So again, in Mark chapter 4, verses 1 to 35, and again he began to teach by the sea. And there was gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he, having gone into the boat, sat in the boat, and all the multitude was near the sea on the land. And he saith to them on that day, evening having come. So on that day, because he started preaching during the day, because, you know, he gets up very early, right, to do these things. So he was teaching during the day, and evening having come. When? That same day. We may pass over the other side, because now it was evening. The day didn't change. It was still that day. The evening is still part of the same day, because it starts with the day and it ends at the end of the night or at dawn. So the significance is that Yeshua started teaching earlier during a day, and it remained that same day when evening came, not becoming another day. So evening doesn't start the day. Okay, so now I just wanted to add these as a little bolster to our teaching yesterday. We saw how the laws, certain laws, the law of the sacrifices, you can't keep. If you start a day in the evening, it won't work because of the order of the sacrifices. We looked at Genesis, and now we're going to look at the Sabbath, beginning with Genesis. So in Genesis, let me turn there for you. Genesis chapter 1, and then we'll look at the few first few verses of chapter 2. But Genesis chapter 1, verses 24. Okay, so verses 24 says, that's Genesis chapter 1, verses 24. It says, "And Elohim said, let the earth bring forth living creatures according to their kinds, livestock and creeping things and beasts of the earth according to their kinds. And it was so. And Elohim made the beast, the behemoth of the earth, according to their kinds, and the livestock according to their kinds, and everything that creeps on the ground according to its kind. And Elohim saw that it was good." Verse 26, "Then Elohim said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So that is the wonderful purpose Elohim created us, to be the stewards, leaders of this earth, to bring about, to cultivate the earth. Not just the agriculture, but even the animals. Just as sinful men today trains the animals sometimes for not so good purposes, but in righteousness, we were to train the animals, help them develop and become better than what they are. Even as Elohim gave Adam the garden later on in chapter 2, we won't cover, but we know he gave them the garden to till. It was a wonderful, perfect garden with everything needed to become something extremely beyond even Adam's imagination, what we could understand. Everything was there in the garden to do that. So it was Adam and later Eve's job to cultivate that garden, to make it the best, and for them to advance in what is a supreme, but a great science, where they work together with nature and learn to harness its powers without polluting it, without destroying it, but work in harmony with the creation in such a way to produce wonderful things in a high science, a true science that has no side effects whatsoever. But I've digressed, but let's go back to verse 27. "So Elohim created man in his own image. In the image of Elohim, he created he him. Male and female, he created them." So you see there, he calls both male and female what? Adam. They're both Adam, right? They're both Adam. He created them. So that's in that context that a day is called Yom, even though it starts with the daylight, but it has evening, it has night, and it ends at dawn. But the head of the day is the light, so the whole 24 hours is called Yom, the day. So he created man. Verse 28, "And Elohim blessed them, and Elohim said to them, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the heavens, and over every living thing that moves on the earth," everything. "And Elohim said, behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed." So let me skip down a little bit, because that's not the emphasis. So he created man, he created all the land animals on the sixth day. So verse 31, all the land animals, and he made man, human beings, persons, I should say, last on the sixth day. So verse 31, "And Elohim saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day." So you see that pattern of there was morning and there was evening continues from day one through day six. It's very important. That's a key thing. Again, that is just showing us the cycle of the day. Work is done during the day, then comes the evening, then comes the night, then comes dawn, morning, and the next day, day two, day three, day four, day five, day six. All of them says there was evening, and there was morning. However, let's pay close attention to the Sabbath day. So verse chapter 2, thus the heavens and the earth, chapter 2, verse 1, thus the heavens and the earth were finished and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, Elohim stopped his work that he had done. And he stopped on the seventh day, or some translators said rested on the seventh yom from all his work that he had done. So Elohim blessed the seventh yom and made it holy, because on it Elohim rested from all his work that he had done in creation. That's it. That's it for Genesis chapter 2 concerning the Sabbath. What's starkly missing? There was nothing mentioned, and there was evening and there was morning. Do you notice that? It's absent. Why is it absent? I'll be quick. It is because the Sabbath has nothing to do with the evening or the night. It is strictly of the day and of the light. And we will see that as we continue. So again, he created the heavens and the earth. If Elohim wanted us to had any inclination, wanted us to observe the Sabbath in the evening, why would he leave the word evening out when he first mentioned it, especially day one, day two, day three, day four, day five, day six, all said, and there was evening and there was morning. But on the seventh day, it just says, on the seventh day, Elohim finished his work that he had done, and he stopped on the seventh day from all his work that he has done. And Elohim blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all his work. Remember when he did his work? He did his work during the day. So the fact that he rested that part of the 24 hours is telling us that's the Sabbath. The Sabbath is the time he did his work, which was from morning, from daylight to evening. He stopped at the evening. He didn't do any work in the night. So that means the Sabbath, when he stops, that he made holy, is that period of time. He's not going to work in on it as he did the prior days. Is that true? Let's take a look. Now, we know, when we think about the commandment to keep the Sabbath, we would normally, a lot of people would think of Leviticus chapter 23, but especially Leviticus chapter 19. Exodus chapter 19 with the Ten Commandments. We remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, right? And so on about the Sabbath. So we think of the Sabbath day command as being in the Ten Commandments. And it's true. But that's not the first, that's not where the command was given. The command was given in Exodus chapter 16. So let's turn there. And we will see the actual instruction on how and when to keep the Sabbath. It's in Exodus chapter 16. Yes, we know in Genesis chapter 1 and 2, Genesis chapter 2 tells us that Elohim blessed the Sabbath day. But there's no direct instruction there that said people needed to do it, right? We know we have to because we've read the whole Bible or most of it. But in Genesis chapter 1, there's no instruction about it. It just tells us what Elohim did. It tells us the origin of the Sabbath for planet Earth, for the plain Earth, I should say. The Ten Commandments just reminds us, because it's remember to keep the Sabbath day holy. Just by the way the command is worded implies that they knew of it before. Where did they learn of it? Especially from Exodus chapter 16. Let's go through that. It's very important because this is what's going to show exactly that the Sabbath is of the day and of the day only. So they set out Exodus chapter 16, verses 1. They set out from Elim, And dear brethren, pay close attention to this, if this is the first time you're hearing this. They set out from Elim, and all the congregation of the people of Israel came to the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai. So they're in between those two locations, between Elim and Sinai. So they on the 15th day of the second month after they had departed from the land, on the 15th day of the second month after they departed from the land of Egypt. So this is the, on the second month after they left Egypt. So they had just left Egypt. This is a month later. And in chapter 15, they were complaining about not having water. They were fussing and complaining. They didn't have water. And Elohim had given them water. So now in chapter 16, it says in verse 2, and the whole congregation of the people of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the people of Israel said to them, would that we had died by the hand of the Eternal in the land of Egypt when we sat by the meat pots and ate bread to the full. For you have brought us out here in the wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. So let's understand what happened. This is the second month. They were thirsty in the prior chapter, chapter 15, and Elohim gave them the water. This is a month later, and this is over a million people, well over. And I think I'm being conservative with that number. Over a million people. So a month later, what happened to their food supply? All gone, right? It's a month later. So they're complaining. Let's take another little bit of context here before we move on. I wanted the 15th. Why is the 15th important? Remember the Passover law? The Passover law says that if you, for a reasonable cause, I'm not going to go through the reasonable causes. It's not ours to make. It's in the scriptures. You know, if you're sick, if you're unclean, anything that Elohim would allow for, not because you want to do something else, not because you want to work. No. It's if you're sick, unclean, or whatever. That's what the rules were. And you miss the Passover on the first month of Aviv, you can hold it on the second month of Aviv, right? You ought to hold it on the exact same day of the month. Passover would be on the 14th day of the month. And the 15th would be the first day of unleavened bread. So this is the second month. So this 15th day is the second day of unleavened bread. So that's when they're complaining. All right. So keep that in mind. It's the 15th day of unleavened bread. And that's when all of this complaining for food started. Verse 4. Then the Eternal said to Moses, behold, I'm about to rain bread from heaven for you. And the people shall go out and gather a day's portion every yom, every day, that I may prove them, or some may say test, but it's really that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or not. Verse 5. On the sixth day, when they prepare what they bring, it will be twice as much as they gather daily. So Moses and Aaron said to all the people of Israel. Now he's speaking to them on what day? On the 15th day. And here's the proof that it's still the 15th. So Moses and Aaron said to all the people of Israel, at evening, you shall know that it was the Eternal who brought you out of the land of Egypt. Why? Because it's a month later when they left. It's the 15th. So on the 15th is the first day of unleavened bread. It was on the night of the 15th they actually left. They started leaving in the morning, but they left by the night. So they started in the morning of the 15th after Passover, and they actually left Ramses. I believe they left Egypt by the night of the 15th. So that's why it is the 15th, And Moses says, you will know that it was the Eternal who brought you out of the land of Egypt, because it's the 15th of the second month. So what else is going to happen? So on that, the evening of the 15th, they're going to know this. And in the morning of after the 15th is what? Will be the 16th of Aviv. It's the next day, right? So Moses said to all the people, at evening, you shall know that it was the Eternal who brought you out of the land of Egypt. And in the morning, you shall see the glory of the Eternal. Got to really understand this. Because he has heard your grumbling against the Eternal. And we see, he says, because he has heard, for what are we that you grumble against us? And Moses said, when the Eternal gives you in the evening bread to the full, when the Eternal gives you in the evening meat to eat, when does the meat come? In the evening. And in the morning, bread to the full, because the Eternal has heard your grumbling that you grumble against him. What are we? Your grumbling is not against us, but against the Eternal. That was the end of part of verse 8. Now, mind you, this is not the meat coming in the evening is not going to happen in the 15th. It's going to happen on the 16th. Remember, he says in verse 6, so Moses said to all the people, at evening, you shall know it was the Eternal who brought you out of the land of Egypt. And in the morning, what's going to happen? You will see his glory. Some people make the mistake of thinking, oh, that means they will know is the Eternal who brought them out of Egypt, because in the evening, they're going to receive the quail or the meat or the quail. And in the morning, they're going to see the manna. I used to think that too, but that's not correct. Follow along with me. You will see why. Keep in mind, verse 7, and in the morning, you shall see the glory of the Eternal. We should not make assumptions. Let the scriptures tell us what that means. So let's continue in verse 9. So it says, then Moses said to Aaron, say to the whole congregation of the people of Israel, come near before the Eternal. Now he said this to Aaron, say to the whole congregation of the people of Israel, come near before the Eternal, for he has heard your grumbling. Let's look at verse 10 carefully. And as soon as Aaron spoke to the whole congregation of the people of Israel, they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Eternal appeared in the cloud. Ah, so we're told exactly what verse 6 means. Because it says, verse 7 says, and in the morning you shall see the glory of the Eternal. So it's the morning now, and it's not the manna that's the glory of the Eternal. And in that evening, they would learn that Elohim took them out of the land of Egypt by instruction, obviously, because it was a holy day. Because Moses would have taught them, reminded them that on the night of the 15th of Aviv, they came out. So that's why they will know that evening of the 15th that it was Elohim who took them out. But in the next day was not the manna. What they saw the next day was the literal glory of the Eternal shining in the pillar of cloud, of fire, right? So that evening when they learned wasn't because they ate the meat and said, oh, Elohim really is our Elohim. Nope. They didn't get the meat yet. Let's see what happens. Let's go back to verse 10. So as soon as Aaron spoke to the whole congregation of people of Israel, they looked toward the wilderness and behold, the glory of the Eternal appeared in the cloud, just as Moses told them. And the Eternal said to Moses, verse 12, I have heard the grumbling of the people of Israel. Say to them, at twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you will be filled with bread. So this whole process started on the next day. So in the evening of the 15th, they learned from Moses and Aaron that it was Elohim who brought them out of the land of Egypt, or it could have been directly from Elohim by some instruction. In the morning, the next day, that is the 16th of the second month of Aviv, they saw the glory of the Eternal, and Elohim told them directly that at evening, because it was morning, so he didn't say the next day. He said, in the evening, they will receive, you shall eat meat. Twilight, that's around 3 p.m. Twilight, you shall eat meat. And in the morning, that's the next day, you shall be filled with bread. So how many days here? So it was the 15th and the 16th, they saw the glory of the Eternal. And in the evening of the 16th, they received the meat. And in the morning, they received the bread, the manna. So the manna started on the 17th of the second month. And if any of you have received the calendar, you know perfectly that the calendar shows us correctly that the 17th of the second month was landed on the first day of the week, which makes perfect sense, because that's the start of the Sabbath. That's the start of counting to the Sabbath, right? Let's keep reading. So it says, in the evening, quail came up and covered the camp. And I'm in verse 13. And it says, in the evening, quail came up and covered the camp. So that's in the evening of the 16th. The quail came. That's the day the glory of the Eternal showed to them and spoke to them, telling them this. And in the morning, dew lay around the camp. Verse 14, and when the dew had gone up, there was on the face of the wilderness a fine flake-like thing, fine as frost on the ground. Verse 15, when the people of Israel saw it, they said to one another, man, that is, what is it? For they did not know what it was. Man, or some say manna. And Moses said to them, it is the bread that the Eternal has given you to eat. So the manna started on the 17th of the month in the daytime. And we will see why the 17th must be the first day of the week as we can as we read on. So the people saw it. Oops, let me move on. Yes. So the bottom of verse 15 says, it is the bread that the Eternal has given you to eat. Verse 16 says, this is what the Eternal has commanded. Gather of it, each one of you, as much as he can eat. You shall each take an omer, according to the number of the persons that each of you has in his tent. And the people of Israel did so. They gathered some more, some less. But when they measured it with an omer, whoever gathered much had nothing left over. And whoever gathered little had no lack. Each of them gathered as much as he could eat. Mind you, this is about Sabbath keeping, but we have to understand this to pay. Okay? So verse 19 says, and Moses said to them, let no one leave any of it over till, let no one leave any of it over till the morning. So this bread came. They received it. They had to eat it between the morning and the night. They cannot leave it till the next day. So let's continue with verse 20. But they did not listen to Moses. Some left part of it till the morning, and it bred worms and stank. And Moses was angry with them. Verse 21. Morning by morning, they gathered it, each as much as he could eat. But when the sun grew hot, it melted. Do you notice all this emphasis about morning, morning, morning? And when the sun grew hot, it melted. So it did not even last the entire day. It probably melted around, sometime in the afternoon when the sun was hot. So it came down early in the morning at dawn, And by midday, a little after in the afternoon, it melted away. So you only had the early parts of the day and evening to collect this. Now, verse 22 is where we start connecting more closely to the Sabbath. It says, on the sixth day, they gathered twice as much bread, 2 omers each. And when all the leaders of the congregation came and told Moses, he said to them, now this is on the sixth day, okay, of the week, and they gathered twice as much. He said to them, this is what the Eternal has commanded. This evening or this night is the Sabbath. No, he did not say that. It is the sixth day, and he says to them, tomorrow is a day of solemn rest, a holy Sabbath to the Eternal. Bake what you will bake and boil what you will boil, and all that is left over lay aside to be kept till the morning. Wow. So the sixth day command was different than all the other days. All the other days, they only gathered enough for one day, but on the sixth day, they gathered a double portion. So looking at our calendar, if I'm correct, 6 days, right? So it's the seventh. So I said it was the 17th. So 6 plus 7 is 22. 2 and 2, a double portion, right? 22. And they got a double portion. So that means that on that Friday, as we would call it, the sixth day of the week was on the 22nd day of the second month. And that Friday, or sixth day of the week, because we're told in verse 22, it's the sixth day. It says so. We're not guessing. It's 6 days later from the 17th. So that makes it the 22nd day of the month. Moses said, tomorrow is a day of solemn rest, a holy Sabbath to the Eternal, right? We read that. So verse 24. So they laid it aside till the morning, as Moses commanded them. Now, mind you, again, Moses did not say this evening is the Sabbath or tonight is the Sabbath. The emphasis is in the morning. So he says, so they laid it aside, verse 24, they laid it aside till the morning as Moses commanded them. And it did not smell, and there were no worms in it. No tola, as our brother Robert Korn had mentioned, no tola, no worms in it. Verse 25, Moses says, eat it. For yesterday was the Sabbath. That's not, it didn't say yesterday. It didn't say last night. It didn't say in the evening. Verse 25 says, Moses said, eat it today. And then he says it again. For today is a Sabbath to the Eternal. Today you will not find it in the fields. And then he emphasizes the instruction, the Torah, for the Sabbath. 6 days you shall gather it, but on the seventh yom, six yom, and we know, again, the emphasis of it's during the day, not at night. Just like Elohim did all his work during the night, not in the evening, because we know they could not gather the manna in the evening. It said it melted when the sun grew hot. So that what Elohim has in mind in day resting is during the daytime. That's why it says 6 days you shall gather it. In the daytime. He's not talking about what's happening in the evening. But on the seventh day, which is a Sabbath, there will be none. Verse 27. On the seventh day, some of the people went out to gather, but they found none. And the Eternal said to Moses, how long will you refuse to keep my commandments and my laws? See, verse 29 says, the Eternal has given you the Sabbath. Therefore, on the sixth day, he gives you bread for 2 days, twice as much. Remain each of you in his place. Let no one go out of his place on the seventh day. So the people rested or stopped on the seventh day. This, dear brethren, is the instruction the pure instruction from the Torah of Sabbath keeping. Notice, at no time when Friday came, when the sixth day came, at no time did you hear once the word evening or night mentioned. We saw on the sixth day that the instruction was, you will gather twice as much. And Elohim made sure that from day one through day five, they could not do that. If they tried to store it on from day one through day five, it began to smell and bred worms. And no matter how much they gathered, they all would end up gathering an omer for each one. They could not gather more. They could not gather less. Elohim did this by his power to really ingrain the whole idea of what was going on, of the Sabbath keeping, the importance. So all the work that's being abstained from is from what's going on in the day. There's no instruction concerning the evening. So when the sixth day came, he didn't say this evening or tonight. Rather, he says tomorrow, right? And he told them tomorrow will be a day of rest, right? And then he tells them, when the people were amazed, hey, Moses, look, we saved it and it didn't smell. There were no worms in it. And Moses says to them, today is the Sabbath, or in the morning, right? He didn't say the evening. See, this is where we need to be the kind that tremble at his word, tremble in respect, trusting his word more than the words of tradition, more than the words of men, more than our own practice, more than our own desire. I've heard people say to me, oh, to me, it really doesn't matter because I look forward to my Sabbath and I like to start my Sabbath Friday evening. You know, not really. They are really starting their Sabbath, but it's not our Sabbath. It's Elohim's Sabbath. And he knows what he is doing. Because by us keeping it as he instructs, by our example of keeping it during the day and not allowing darkness to be a part of it at all, shows the importance of the Sabbath, the holiness of the Sabbath, that it is, there's nothing darkness, there's no confusion, there's no mixture in it, which is the Erev, right? There's no mixture in it. There's no bocher in it, because it starts in the day, not in the morning. It starts because the morning is like the evening, a mixture of night and the coming day. But when the day comes, when the yom comes, that's when it is to be observed. It is of the light. Torah is light. It is the time you gather to hear Torah. It's not in the night. And the master Yeshua tells us, and all throughout the scriptures, that we are children of the light, not of the dark. And that's why the Sabbath is kept during the day. That's why in Genesis chapter 2, there was no mention of evening. In day 1 through day 6, we saw day 1, there was evening and there was morning. Day 2, day 3, day 4, all the way to day 5, day 6, it says there was evening and there was morning. But for the Sabbath day, it does not mention the evening, the night, or the dawn. It's the day only, dear brethren. So that's why you can rest assured that is the case. So that's the Sabbath instruction. All right? And the quail. Think about the quail. The quail comes in the evening. Elohim says at night you would receive the meat, right? Do you know how much work? Those quails didn't come in dead. The east wind brought them down. A wind brought them down. He commanded the wind, he brought the quail down, as you see in the book of Numbers and elsewhere. In the night, in the evening, they were to gather the quail, catch them because they're alive, prepare them. Killing them, taking off their feathers, cleaning it, whatever they needed to do, let all the blood flow, then cook it. That requires a lot of work. If the Sabbath was going to start in the evening, don't we think that the Eternal, being infinitely wise, would have told us would have focused more in the evening on the quail more than the manna? If the Sabbath started at night, he would have told us, remember, you're not going to get the quail today. You know, he would have said that. Or you're going to get twice as much quail a little earlier, so you could prepare it and hold it till the next day. No such thing is said. Because in the evening, that Friday, the sixth day, the quail came. The quail came that evening because there was no issue. It's still the Sabbath. I'm sorry, it's still the sixth day. The Sabbath didn't start. The Sabbath started after dawn. After the dawn. The next day on the seventh day. That's why Moses says, today is the Sabbath, not last evening. He didn't say that. So I stop here with that teaching. I think that proves the point well enough. I'll stop here to ask if you have any questions, any comments, please ask me.